What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I'm out in Ashburn at Commander's practice, OTAs, family day. B. Mitch holding it down in the Navy Yard studios. Hello, Brian.
What up, brother?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. What's going on with you?
Well, warm sitting. I wanted to, dude, things got off to a fast start here in Ashburn. It really kind of just a generic June OTA, and you know, everybody's going through drills. There were some folks on the side field that might catch your eye. A fellow named Curtis Samuel was on the side field. Stunner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember yesterday, everybody calling in talking about the weapons, right? Now you don't have Samuel or McLaurin on the practice field. It's probably nothing. It's June. I'm not going to get alarmed. But here's what I want to talk to you about. You want pace and some sense of urgency at practice.
Yep.
So I don't know that everybody understands how a typical NFL practice works, whether it's OTAs or whether it's Wednesday in November. You start out, everybody kind of is in their position groups. Maybe some days you'll do a quick install before anything starts, but you stretch as a team. Stretch, it takes 10, 12 minutes, something like that. Then you break out into position groups. Everybody goes through position group drills. Usually you do a little special teams, and then eventually you get to 11-on-11 work. Mm-hmm. Some days it's third down installations. Some days it's red zone work. Some days it's 2 minutes. Some days it's just your generic offense. But that's the general flow of this,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
For years and years and years. Hell, going back to like high school football, that's how this thing works. So everything's going smooth today. There were, you know, Antonio Gibson, Curtis Samuel. There were some guys on the side field that I would guess are just days off because it's June. But, you know, we'll get an update from Ron at some point. Have you seen Twitter or anything yet, B? So you don't know what I'm talking about.
I know about Jack Del Rio last night.
Sure, and we'll talk about that.
I don't know about anything new today because I just think that it's time for someone to address this damn idiot. And I'm willing to do it.
All right, well, we will do that. However, so they go into two-minute drill. And the second play of two-minute drill, I actually made a joke on Twitter. I said, two-minute drill, commander's practice. I'll let somebody else say what happened so I don't get called negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two-minute drill, so it's two-minute drill in June. It's irrelevant. But Wentz throws an INT outside, just probably like a 15-yard out route, and Kendall Fuller jumps it. It was a good play by Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Two plays later, though, this is where it gets dicey because we want urgency and we want them to play like it matters. There's a major collision. And It wasn't like anybody did anything wrong, I don't think. A little bit wrong. So first of all, I didn't put the player who put the hit out on Twitter, but enough people have done it now, so I'm just going to – so here's what happens. You have De'Ami Brown running. He's on the right sideline running what looks to be a post, something breaking inside.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great throw, but it kind of looked like Brown pulled up on the route anyway, like he wasn't going to get there. And then, boom, you get a fairly serious collision. Jeremy Reeves is the safety coming down, and Brown is down. He's down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was Brown kind of pulled up. Reeves kind of came in to make the play. It wasn't a dirty hit, but it would have been flagged, I believe. I think he kind of – I'm not saying he led with his helmet, but there was like a shoulder and a helmet connection there. It's the kind of thing that – in a game, fans might have been mad it got flagged, but it would have gotten flagged, if that makes sense.
But see, today everything get flagged, okay? But
sure.
It's the kind of thing that doesn't happen if you're used to practicing fast, JP. That's all it is. I don't know why we think you should have football with 90 world-class athletes on a football field, you're not going to have any collisions. They happen. You know, I don't think that happening – should have any bearing on anything, shouldn't mean it. I don't think Reeves coming down with no pads on trying to hit somebody. I don't think Deami, you know, expect to get hit either. But if you don't practice fast consistently, you're going to have those type of collisions. And you know what happens when you don't practice fast consistently? You don't know how to avoid and how to get ready for. And you end up getting hit. You end up having those awkward collisions. Was it awkward?
It was definitely awkward.
Yeah. So I'm saying that happens. So, I mean, it is what it is. And
I think.
Go ahead.
More importantly, I thought, was kind of Rivera's reaction. And I mean this complimentary. I think it was one of the most real responses we've seen from Ron. Because, B, I imagine this is the Ron you saw in Philly. He flipped out. We talk about, you know, Rivera should be an ambassador to football in Europe, right? Like, he's so good at, like, selling the game and being this big picture guy. He was nothing but a football coach there, and he was pissed. He was legit mad, and he said, we can't have that. We cannot have this. And he said, that makes no sense to me. At one point, he stopped 2 minutes. He brought the whole team in for a big huddle and was, I don't say this hyperbolic, he was livid. He was very, very mad. And his point is, we've got to practice fast, but we can't have that action. And at times that seems counterintuitive, but I think on this specific play, I kind of understood what he was trying to say.
I wasn't there, so I can't really talk specifically about what's going on. But if you want to practice fast, do it all the damn time. We watched practices last year with pads on, and they were practicing slow as hell. So I can't sit up here and be mad at anybody because you know what? They don't know how to practice fast. I practiced fast in Philadelphia for 3 damn years. We had collisions, okay? Nothing was intentional. But you're going to have collisions if you're practicing fast. And if you don't practice fast consistently, you're going to have more awkward collisions than you would normally have in a regular situation. But you know what? Today is June the 8th. Who gives a damn about a collision in practice? I'm being honest, man. Listen, I see a lot of stuff going on with this team right now, and this is where I'm about to go to hell off. And I get so sick of it. We have a coach who we sit up here and we try to put on the pedestal as he's just disciplinarian. And he got a damn defensive coordinator who constantly pokes the goddamn bear. Okay? You got an undisciplined D coordinator, but you want your football team to be disciplined? And I'm supposed to give a damn about somebody out there in practice, T-shirt and panties, and they had a collision. I'm supposed to care about that stuff? Hell with that. I care about him getting his damn D coordinator in control before somebody beats his ass up. That's what I care about. I care about somebody stop this man from constantly poking this little racial bear, what he's doing. That's what I care about. In June 8th, I care about somebody having a damn collision? Wow. Guess what? I want them to have more collisions so they can learn how to have collisions on the damn football field. But this stuff now about how, I don't care how livid he is. He should be livid about the man who's sitting here constantly going against what he presents himself as. And he does it over and over and over again, and never ever does he address it. That's what I care about. So we got to understand one thing. This football thing, it's cool, but there's a lot of stuff that's going on with that football team that is not cool. And when you have Jack Del Rio who constantly feels, I could just go out and say whatever the hell I want to say. Why? Because the coach never says nothing to him. You got all these issues going on with the Washington Commanders right now, and he's constantly trying to make waves because of stupidity. And you wonder why that team wasn't disciplined last year, because your damn leader that's leading your defense is not disciplined. I give a damn about that, June 8th. It's not a story.
So let me catch folks up to speed in case they're unaware. Jack Del Rio has been pretty active on his Twitter feed in the last month, I would say. You can follow him at Coach Del Rio. But a lot of it's been kind of funny in the last couple weeks. He had the... We talked about it it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we talked about the bite D's.
That wasn't funny. That was stupid for a grown ass man who's supposed to be leading men to be out there doing something like that with a damn fan. Because if a player did it, I think the media would even treat it differently. We got to stop allowing them to have those opportunities and shut that stuff down.
I think you're right about that. That's fair. If it was a player, we'd be saying that's inappropriate. And you know what? It's inappropriate for a defensive coordinator to say bite D's, which we all know what that's a reference to. But yesterday, things took a turn. I don't know who this dude is. Norm Eisen. Let me look at his. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute. He's a legal analyst for CNN. Okay? So this dude, Norm Eisen, tweeted out. This is about the January 6th. Storming of the Capitol. I don't know what the appropriate term is, but everybody knows what happened on January 6th. Norm Eisen tweets out, as the January 6th committee hearings draw near, we must understand the whole story of January 6th. In our new Brookings government report, we offer a guide, including potential federal and state criminal charges for Trump and his allies. And there's a link here. You can read about it. Jack Del Rio responded to that tweet with this. He said, would love to understand, in quotes, the whole story about why the summer of riots, looting, burning, and the destruction of personal property is never discussed, but this is, #, common sense.
Okay, well, let me break it down. Let me break the common sense down for him. The common sense is that he's comparing something that's very un-American and very unpatriotic. When you try to cause an insurrection, that is not patriotic. So all the people that call themselves patriots, you are not a damn patriot. That's un-American, to be honest with you. But you're talking about somebody was murdered, basically. Like a lot of black men, black unarmed men have been murdered for years and years in this damn country. And people got tired of it. Not just black people. All people got tired of it. They saw that happen on their damn TVs, and they got sick to their damn stomachs. But let's get it straight. You know what happened during a lot of those peaceful damn protests? You had a lot of people that were on the other side that caused a lot of issues to try to make it seem like it was the black people doing it. It was not. If you really go follow the rules, it wasn't. But then you got a damn person who perpetuates a damn lie to make people storm the Capitol and try to mess up with everything going on in the United States of America as it's supposed to be. And you think that's the same thing? And this is the thing. Ron would slide through the whole day and not address that crap. So I don't give a damn about Ron Rivera getting mad at somebody having a collision until he gets off his ass and address this damn idiot that he hired as a defense coordinator. That's what I give a damn about. And if he can't do it, then he's the wrong damn man to be leading this damn football team.
One other tweet that I think is worth referencing if we're going to have the discussion. So he got a reply from a dude named Miles Grant. He said, black people begging agents of the state to stop executing them, white men trying to overthrow the results of a Democratic election, same thing, according to Dan Snyder's defensive coordinator. And to that, Del Rio replied, yeah, sure, with a Pinocchio emoji.
But that's exactly what the hell he was saying.
In his mind, he's not equating these.
No, right. He was equating it.
I get what it...
Listen, man, we can sit up here and let people play these games all they want. It comes a time to call a spade a damn spade. And in this media, we cover the players as if the player's supposed to be perfect. I expect you all to cover his ass the same way you cover players from now on. Everybody in the media here in D.C. If Jack Del Rio is going to constantly say all this stupid stuff, you need to come at him the same way you would if a player was saying the same thing. Because right now, he can't keep playing that game. You have too much going on with this football team to have somebody that's running as a loose cannon. And you know what? I found out last night he was following me. Cool. Because I don't give a damn. Listen, I don't go on Twitter all the time, Jack. Everything I say right here, directly out of my damn mouth. And I would love to sit down one-on-one with your ass and see what you're really about. Because I am sick and tired of the people sitting up here. We treat players like they're supposed to be like the leaders of the world. You can't do this to the older player. He can't believe it. These are young men that really don't have a lot of guys, a lot of experience in living life. But we judge them more harshly than we do grown-ass men in positions to lead them. So how do you expect anybody on that team to be straightforward when you got a guy like that in the defense coordinator position? And he has a coach above him who never says anything about what he says. But the players have to be walking a damn straight line. That is BS on my part.
You know what, B? We're going to tell some truths that we tell off air here. I have to walk a fine line of trying to manage relationships, right? And I know that, and we talk about this stuff. You're absolutely right. I'm not trying to manage anything right here. You can't try to be this disciplinarian. And I, frankly, as an organization that is trying to celebrate everything that is inclusive, and the term is woke, right? This organization is trying to turn the page from what they were to something new entirely. It's got to be addressed. And you could say maybe we don't agree with this, but Jack has a right to say what he wants, but it's got to be addressed. You're absolutely right. And we could try to separate the football from the investigations and the allegations, and we could try to do all this, but this isn't ownership. This isn't a business officer. This isn't a ticket seller. This is the defensive coordinator. And he's going to be asked about it. He's scheduled to speak today. They're supposed to stream that. If they do stream it, we will take it live on this air. I guarantee you that. He will be asked difficult questions. I expect there won't be any answers, but he'll be asked the questions. And I think you're right, B. How can we claim to be all these things and then allow this?
You know why a lot of things have not changed around this whole town? Because that's the way we've been. We sat here and a lot of people, because I damn sure don't care about a relationship. Because let's be honest with you. I've been here longer than coaches, and most coaches are going to be gone when I'm still here. This is where I live. This is my home. This is what I give a damn about. This is what a lot of these fans give a damn about. And we've had a lot of coaches running here, and I told you this, and I'll say it again and again. I am not trying to, anyway, release Dan Snyder of any of his blame and his fault. But one thing a lot of coaches have done, they roll in this town, and you know what they do? They don't give a damn because they know they got a built-in excuse. Whatever goes wrong is going to be blamed on one Dan Snyder. And a lot of these coaches come along, and they don't do a damn thing at all to make things better, to change anything up. But they walk out, they get their checks, they go, they know they're going to be gone in 3-4 years, and they leave, okay? But nobody ever blames them. A lot of these coaches have been awful, okay? A lot of things I want to say, but I know I get myself in trouble. They have been awful. Well, a lot of players that
let
come
me say
here
one thing for
have
you,
been awful
because I don't
well.
Think people realize – people think people have no idea how much you hold back. And I know that, and you know that, but I'm not sure our audience knows that. You could spill a whole lot of tea, and you're very, very careful about it.
But the thing of it is, so many people, we have to stop, let's just blame one guy, because a lot of people had a part in this thing. There have been awful players who've gotten rich. There have been awful coaches who've gotten rich, okay? And let's understand, but they come with a built-in excuse. So, and we as media people and fans, you know what? We have fault too. Because what we do, we just follow the narrative instead of blaming people and poking at the right people. Ron Rivera has to get his defensive coordinator in check if he expects anybody to believe that he is the man he claimed to be as a disciplinarian. Okay? And listen, I know how Ron texts people and calls people. Ron, if you have a problem with what I'm saying today, Jack, you got a problem with what I'm saying? Call me. All y'all can get my phone number. You know my damn phone number. Don't call somebody else. Don't talk crap behind my back like I know you've been doing, because guess what? Nobody holds secrets completely. So when you want to talk trash to Brian Keith Mitchell, dial my number. I am willing to have a conversation and tell you all how your crap stinks just like everybody else, because it's a bunch of BS how this thing is being worked. You are disciplinary when it's a player or when somebody that's about to go. But when you're not disciplinary, when you got a running rampant, out of control as defense coordinator, I don't appreciate it. And I think it's about time. So if you want to talk trash like you've done and people want to say something about Brian Keith Mitchell, you know my phone number. Call it and we can have the conversation. Or invite me to go face to face, because I'm damn sure not afraid to do it with you or your little whack ass defensive coordinator. Let's get it done.
Let's do this. We got a busy, busy day on the program. We're live at OTAs, and we got to talk. There's a basketball game tonight, game 3 of the NBA Finals. we got a lot going on. Don't go anywhere. It's Be Mitch and Finley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Be Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. JP had to go step away and interview John Allen. We had some other things planned, but we're going to continue on this line right here. And I just want to explain to you all why I kind of lost it just a moment there. Anybody that knows me truly and knows me personally, you understand that I'm not one to bite my tongue or hold my tongue back, and I'm as honest as I possibly can be. I try my best to be respectful to everyone, but there comes a point in time where you can only deal with so much. And there's so much going on in this world right now that I know a lot of people in this industry, they don't have to deal with it like I deal with it. Okay, being a black man here in America right now with all the stuff going on and how things are going on, it's tough as hell to be in this industry when a lot of people, I understand, they try to toe the line. They don't want to discuss certain things. And one thing that ever since I started doing media in 1991-92 season, everybody knew then that I would speak the same way I felt about a player as I would a coach. And I have lived my whole media career that way, where I'm going to be straightforward and honest, okay? Because if I'm going to sit up there and try to, you know, tap dance around stuff to play with another person, then I'm going to be basically allowing the things to keep perpetuating. And every once in a while, I try to wait and see if my counterparts are going to do some of the same thing. So I'm at the point right now where I'm sick and tired of everybody here chastising players to the utmost, but they won't address anything when it comes down to coaches. The NFL basically has a rule when it comes down to media that you have to talk to certain people, answer certain questions. That doesn't just go for players. It goes for coaches too. And I know a lot of football teams try to, you know, threaten people about, I'm going to take your media card, this, that, and that. You better have something very damn strong to ride on to be able to do that based off of what the NFL rules are. And I think when a guy in the position of a head coach, or any coach in the league, but definitely a head coach, an O coordinator, a D coordinator, those people, you can't expect me to follow you when you don't show discipline. You know, I have been a man throughout my life where I was taught by a father who was in the military, who fought for this damn country, okay, and taught me to fight for what you believe in. And you give respect when it's given. And a lot of times I've had teachers, coaches, principals who wanted their respect, but they was like trying to treat me like I was a nobody. Well, I will challenge that because I'm not afraid of anybody at a certain level. I'm going to speak my mind. Now, the thing of it is, you can't keep poking this damn bear. You can't keep playing with this. The January 6th thing is not nothing comparable to anything, but guess what? You know why? Because it never happened in this country before. This is something that goes on in other countries on a regular basis, and we got all these people trying to just walk past this and play as if, oh, you know, they were patriots fighting. No, they were people that were following a lie that was perpetuated by a liar, and you got people still pushing it, and they tried to overturn an election, which is totally unconstitutional, un-American, and that's damn sure not patriotic. So when I have a coach that's constantly playing that thing right there and playing with it, and he goes and says a lot more things that I kind of like shied away from. But I don't care what people may think about George Floyd. George Floyd was murdered on TV. And there were a lot of people who got mad. A lot of people from all walks of life. Everybody didn't look like Brian Keith Mitchell. You know, a lot of people look like JP and other people. They you know what? Enough is enough. And they got mad. But you know what? We had a lot of these little groups going around starting crap at a lot of these peaceful, you know, peaceful protests. And Jack think that those two things are very much the same? Yeah, we're talking about January 6th, Mr. Del Rio, because it is something that is not American. It is when you try to overthrow a government per se. That's what you were trying to do. That is not anything close to what we think should be happening in this country. And if you think that's anything like anywhere else, then I think you're too damn stupid to own a job where you have. I think, listen, right now you have an owner in a position where he can't do much because he's constantly fighting off everything coming at him. But you got a coach who has gotten basically rose petals thrown at his feet. He's supposed to be this guy, that guy, so great at this, great at that. I don't think he is, because he has not addressed half of the things or none of the things that this idiot has constantly said. So if you're going to be a leader, your coaches need to be in check, just like your players. The man that I respect to the utmost, Joe Gibbs, Andy Reid right after, I never heard their coaches talking and saying nothing crazy. Andy Reid went as far as to say, you know what? I'm not letting my players, my coaches speak to the media because I'm going to keep the same message going. When I got back here, I retired from football, I started doing radio. I called Andy Reid to talk to David Culley, my college coach. He's saying, "Coach, you know, B-Mitch, I don't let my coaches talk, but I'll come on and talk to you." And he did that every year. Joe Gibbs, you never heard a coach saying nothing outside of what Joe says. Ron will say something about we got to get our better play out of our linebacker. Jack say, I'm happy with the play out of my linebackers. That's going against your head coach consistently, and nothing is addressed. So if people out there think that football is only about piling up on young men from all walks of life, that this, they don't have the experience to understand all this. You know, I said it my time when I played. You think because I can run a ball or shoot a basketball or throw a baseball that I'm supposed to know everything about life? But then you get a person who's in a position. I watch it all the time. Judges, lawyers, presidents, governors, doctors, and we don't scrutinize them like we do these young men. So the scrutiny has to start coming from every walk of life. I don't care if you're an athletic, Washington Post. I don't care what you cover. Whatever radio station you're on, 106.7, 980, whatever. I expect the same treatment now for coaches as we give players. Because we're going to scrutinize. If a player did everything that Jack did, they'll be getting chastised by every media person here, me included. So the coaches, they get the same thing. And as I said earlier, they know my phone numbers. I'm waiting on that phone call. I've offered many times for people to call and talk and do different things, help out the damn return game, all this. Nobody calls. Why? Because they like people they can control. And the last person anybody's going to control is me, because I don't think I need to be controlled. I think you need to learn to sometime listen, because you may find out how stupid you actually being. So let's go to the phone lines. And what we got here? Franklin? Let's go to Franklin. What's up, Franklin? How you doing?
Hey, B. Mitch.
What's going on?
Hey. No, not much. I just wanted to tell you that, man. It's I understand your passion and all that, but it's all right. It's okay for people to have different opinions, man.
It's okay to have opinions. It's okay to have a different opinion. Guess what? I have a lot of different opinions, but you think I say every opinion I have on this airway? No. I have a guy in Chris Kiner. I have a Ivy up there in the front. They basically let you know what you can and can't say and how you should watch things. So, no, I don't push the issue with my job. So, this man is saying stuff totally opposite of what his coach claims he is. So, I understand the different opinions. But when you keep saying opinions about things where people are dying, then that's a damn problem.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. He's entitled to it, though. Right?
He's entitled to his opinion. If he was working for himself.
He shouldn't lose his job because he has an opinion. That's his opinion.
Dude, he can have
You can't call for somebody's job just because they disagree with you.
Oh, I didn't say nobody. I'm calling for a job because he disagree with me. I'm saying he constantly says the same stupid stuff over and over again, and you're supposed to be a man in the face of leading somebody.
It may not be stupid to him. Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's a different opinion.
It may not be stupid to him. Franklin, how many people have lost jobs by being different than somebody else in this country?
I don't know. I know some people did.
Hey, I understand, but you know what? I feel how I feel. Let's take a break. We got to take a break here.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, I feel how I feel. But you know what? I will say, I won't say stuff that I know will get me fired or could get me fired because I know the things not to say at this job. We got to take a break. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We'll be back. All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. J.P. Finley is out at the park today interviewing John Allen and waiting for him to get that interview done. We also had Ron Rivera just a while ago talking. We're going to hear it from Jack Del Rio later on. And I'm sure you'll be asked different questions. But we're going to continue on with the phone lines. And listen, I have my opinions, and I understand. I have a lot of personal opinions that I don't speak about on the airwaves sometimes because it doesn't go in line with what the rules are here. And I'm just saying that when you are presenting yourself as a guy who's a disciplinarian and you're going to get everybody on the right track and you're going to change your culture, and you have one coach who constantly seems to be going against everything everybody else is talking about, and everybody's just saying, and you never address it, that's what I'm talking about. And I don't know if Franklin understood that or not, but that's where I was going with it. But we'll see how this thing goes. Let's go to kick back to the phone lines to the MGM National listener line. Let's go to Tailgate Ted. What's up, Ted? How you doing, man?
Hey, B. Thank you, man. Thank you for bringing this up. Thank you for always speaking the truth, because this coach of this team is too scared to actually do it. You know, they asked Rivera during his presser what he thought about it, and he basically ignored it, said he wasn't going to address it or even talk to him about it. And now they asked if it was going to affect the locker room. I mean, how can it not affect the locker room when you've got these young men that are hearing their head coach with, in my opinion, just these, you know, non-traditional racist remarks? And I live close to the Capitol, B. That day happened and it was real. Mm-hmm. And for Rivera to just think it's okay to say what he's saying, you can't ignore this.
Yep. All right, man. Appreciate your call, Ted. And that's I'm saying, like, he addresses everything that a player does. We went from the flag to where, you know, I'm not going to say nothing about it. Then he started to say something about it. We went from COVID where it's their choice. They don't want to take a test. Then where he started to get a little personal about it against the people that wasn't getting it done. You see what I'm saying? So if you're going to do that type of stuff, you have to address the things that are going on with your staff, because he hired all of these people. He picked them. That's where my problem is, and I think people don't understand what I'm trying to say. Like, my daddy didn't tell me one thing and told my brother something else. Everybody was running by the same rules, okay? And if you were a friend of mine, you came to my house, you lived by the rules of the Mitchell household. But no, it's like this man has the right to go and say all the things he wants that are very hurtful to a lot of damn people. And I would say at least 75-80% of the people on his football team. And if it's not, then something is wrong with them. They need to figure out what the hell they really care about. Let's go to Tony here in Fairfax. What's up, Tony? How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I couldn't agree with you anymore. People in the private sector, you know, doctors, lawyers, like you mentioned, they really need to be held accountable, just like these young football players that we're scrutinizing. Some of them under 25, and people are expecting them to know what the whole world is about. And along the lines of the comments about the insurrection, that he needs to stay in his lane. Just like you said, you can't say anything you want. I can't go to work and say whatever I want. There's repercussions. I can get fired, moved, transferred, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I thank you for bringing this to light. I hope it gets some steam and more people start talking about it. Great show. Love you guys.
Appreciate you, man. The thing I'm saying is, like, I can remember just a few years back where from college – high school to the pros, they were talking about. But Jack Del Rio is starting to talk right now. Let's go to Ashburn.
I love this country, and you know, I believe what I believe, and I've said what I want to say. And every now and then, there's some people that get offended by it. It's a slow news cycle, so I guess Mike Florio picked something up yesterday and talked about it. It's not the first time Mike and I have disagreed about things. That's okay. You know, but that's pretty much it. There's not a whole lot to it. But what I am excited about is what's going on right now with us and the way we're working. You know, so football questions be where I'd like to focus. If anybody else wants to talk about other things, we can set something out at another time. But that's kind of how I see it.
It seems like you like to express yourself in the offseason. It's been a couple years in a row. Is that, like, what is it about this time that you, you know, want to speak up on certain issues?
No particular, you know, time or thing about offseason or in season. No.
And you obviously took, I think, a stance that was counter to some players and how they felt in summer 2020. Are you worried at all about
nope.
how your players would?
Not at all.
Okay.
Do you think your stances reflect a lot of people that aren't putting those out there out of fear or anything else?
You know, some people may be swayed by that, but again, I'm going to be the man I am, and you know, I operate here as a coach with nothing but love and respect for everybody I work with.
Coach, there are a lot of African Americans on your team. I know you said you're not really worried at all.
Yeah.
But do you think it has any effect on them knowing their beliefs and where, maybe the communities they come from when it comes down to police brutality, knowing that you kind of compared that those George Floyd protests with January 6th?
No. No, I don't think race had anything to do with that incident. And so, no.
Well, not race, but in regards to just the race that believes in and supports the Black Lives Matter movement, are you concerned that some of those players are a little bit concerned about what your
no,
personal opinion?
No, no, I'm not.
When you said that incident, what did you
mean? I'm sorry?
When you said that incident just now, what did you mean?
I think we know what we're talking about here. I mean, I don't, there's really nothing else to add right now, guys. Anything else?
I'll go defense. Last year felt like you guys got off to a slower start than you wanted. What, as you go back and look at it, what kinds of things do you feel more prepared for this year or better able to do?
Well, we hope to be better, right? You know, clearly it starts with a commitment to being here and working and being able to get on the same page, make sure the communication is good. I think that kind of, you know, gives you a great start, a great foundation. So, you know, right now we're getting a lot of great work in. There are guys that are developing. I would single out, you know, Benjamin St. Juice is really having a terrific offseason and excited about what he's doing in there. He's getting a lot of reps at nickel. He's played well there. And I think that's a real positive for us. So it's development. Now, this time of year you can develop and gain a great understanding of how we all fit together. And defensively, that's what it's all about, you know, kind of knowing where you need to go and everybody being accountable and getting there and playing with some attitude.
I'll ask you about Chase. A lot of people are curious about him. I know you haven't seen him on the field.
Yeah.
What have your discussions been like about what you want from him here in year three?
Well, mainly get healthy, you know, work hard. He's doing that. He's putting in the work and get himself back. And then right now for him, it's important to kind of some of the things we're talking about, you know, understand exactly the things we're asking him to do, have a great feel for, you know, where he can make his plays and where he can be a difference maker for us. Obviously, he's a great leader, so you have to be here to lead. And so, I'm, you know, love seeing him here. It's voluntary, doesn't have to be here right now. So I love seeing him here, and I think it's good for us as a team.
You could just, since we're not here every day, he has been around?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there was a couple times where he was off and doing the rehab that he needed to do, but he's been with us, recently, and it's good having his impact around.
What is the progression that Benjamin has made that even, like, again, I know there's a long way to go to get the season, but what's the progression he's made so far that makes you feel good about what he's shown inside?
Just the work he's putting in, you know, the attention to detail, the understanding. Picking up a new position. We played him outside primarily last year. He's been able to move inside, and we're just looking to get our best people on the field, give them all a chance to compete. I think when you look at the work, the body of work that he's had this offseason has been very productive for us, and very productive for him. You know,
does his size?
You listen to Jack Del Rio's press conference here on B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Does he give you a different look? And
for sure. Yeah, for sure. No, his length, he's got incredible quickness. So you worry about longer guys that typically don't have short area quickness. He's got amazing short area quickness and body control. So with a bigger, longer guy inside, it definitely allows him to be disruptive, allows us to play at a high level. So it's he's been really impressive inside.
There wasn't a lot of moves made on the defensive side in free agency. Does that speak to a certain confidence you have in the group from last year bouncing back or taking steps together?
Well, I think, you know, we feel like if we get healthy and then we've added a couple pieces. Big Phil, you know, inside has been really good. And then guys developing, you know, guys like Jamin, guys like Benjamin, they need to develop and play better. And they will. And we're seeing that. So, and then, you know, you add in a couple draft picks, you know, I said Big Phil, and you got Percy, Christian late. So we've got a couple guys there that come in and add some to our depth, and then we'll see what they earn. But you know, we like the core that we have. We think we have a good core when we're healthy. And so staying healthy, obviously, is key for everybody, you know. The Rams are a different team if Aaron Donald gets hurt, right? I mean, it's, you know, you need your good players healthy and at the gate. And so, but having them here and us working together and developing like we are right now, I think, is very encouraging.
Jack, turnovers are always emphasized, obviously. Mm-hmm. Is it any more of an emphasis this year, considering some of the struggles you guys had on third down, pass defense and all that?
No. That's, to me, there are certain things that are always important. Playing well on third down, playing well in the red zone, and turnovers. Those are probably the biggest keys to playing good defense.
Are you happy so far with?
Yeah, we're working on it. We're working on it. I mean, you know, obviously going against your own offense. I think one thing that we can all see, our offense is going to be better. You know, we've greatly improved the quarterback room. Carson has been tremendous, and adding a draft pick there as well, and Taylor coming back. I think, you know, we've got a really strong quarterback room. I think it starts there. Jahan has been outstanding. I mean, I'm talking about the other side of the ball, but we're excited about what we're seeing as a team from each other. And so, you know, that's all positive for us. You know, it's going to make us work harder in camp and this time of year, and that should pay dividends for our football team when we open up in the fall.
Take two more.
You guys deployed a lot of three safety looks last year with Landon not being here. Does St. Juice allow you guys to kind of maybe go away from the three safety looks and play more traditional nickel stuff? Or, like, would you still like to deploy?
Yeah, we'll have our packages ready. You know, we're going to utilize our personnel the best we can. You know, obviously, we've got a young safety that we drafted in Percy. We've got a young safety that we had last year in Defoe. And so... Those guys are going to get time there. You know, getting Bobby back and having Cam, you know, there. Obviously, we've got some safeties we like, and we'll deploy them as we feel we can and want to. But having Benjamin playing well at the nickel is big for us, you know.
Just to follow up quickly, Percy Butler and Derek Forrest, both Buffalo nickel options? Or?
I'm sorry?
Are they both options for the Buffalo nickel?
I don't know. The Buffalo nickel maybe takes on life of its own. I don't know that it needs to. I think that was more Landon really didn't want to ever be considered anything but a true safety, and he played the nickel as it's kind of like a linebacker, but it's okay. I get it. But we're going to do the best we can with the guys we have and make sure that we have the ability to match what offenses want to do and help take that away.
Sam, last one.
Jack, sorry, one more back on Twitter.
Are you back on Twitter? Just stay off that thing, will you?
Just for clarification, why is it not important to you, like, if your players are concerned by what you'd said?
Oh, if they are and they want to talk about it, I'd talk about it with anybody. Yeah, no problem, at any time. But they're not. I'm just expressing myself. And I think we all, as Americans, have the right to express ourselves, especially if you're being respectful. I'm being respectful. I just asked a simple question, really. Let's get right down to it. What did I ask? A simple question. Why are we not looking into those things? If we're going to talk about it, why are we not looking into those things? Because it's kind of hard for me to say I can realistically look at it. I see the images on TV. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Businesses are being burned down. No problem. And then we have a dust up at the Capitol. Well, there's nothing burned down. And we're not going to talk about, we're going to make that a major deal. I just think it kind of two standards. And if we apply the same standard and we're going to be reasonable with each other, let's have a discussion. That's all it was. Let's have a discussion. We're Americans. Let's talk it through. I'm for us, you know, having a great opportunity to have a fulfilled life. Like I said, every which way I can, when I'm here, it's about love and respect. I love my guys. I respect my guys. But I also love the fact that I'm an American, and that means I'm free to express myself, and I'm not afraid to do that.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
We just found out how ignorant and stupid he actually is, because why you're not doing it? Because they're not the same two damn things. Listen to me, man. If y'all don't see what we're dealing with, then something is wrong with you. Oh, they're not worried. How he know that his players are not worried? And I could just say this here. I personally know a lot of players on the defense do not like his ass. Okay? We're going to address this as we go on. This show is off the rails. No more about a lot of just playing football. He can say what he wants to say. We're going to say what we want to say. And guess what, Jack? I'm one of the guys that want to talk to you face to face, my man. We'll be back.